Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. I'm David Jay with my friend, Pastor Jack. Hey, is it okay to still say Merry Christmas? I mean, you know, we're a day past, but I love saying it.
Hey, listen, not only is it okay to say it, but this is a true story. Listen, just about 2 weeks before Halloween, just a couple months ago.
Yeah.
I was at Lowe's or Home Depot, it doesn't matter, one of the stores. And in the parking lot, a man from the parking lot, from his car driving by, yelled, "Merry Christmas, Pastor Jack." Now, if you're listening right now and you live in this part of the world, that's kind of like a little thing we got going on. There's a little game here at in our community that whoever gets to, you know, yell at Pastor Jack first, Merry Christmas, there's some form of, I don't know, story to all that. The amazing thing is we are always wishing people Merry Christmas around here. It's hilarious. And, so yes, absolutely. In fact, because Christ came and because he's our Lord and Savior, it's always a Merry Christ Mass. It's always us gathered around Jesus that matters on a daily basis. You bet.
Yesterday and today, we're covering the who, what, when, where, and why of Christmas. Why are those details important to us as Christians?
Well, I think it's because God wants us to know what we believe and why we believe it. I don't think God wants us to be checking our brains in at the door if we're going to come to church or be a Christian. I think it's the exact opposite. You ought to know why Christmas is. You ought to know why Jesus came. You ought to know, everything about what the gospel announces. And so I think it's vital. We want to make sure that people can defend what it is that they believe. And the only way you can do that is if you know the Bible.
It is the day after Christmas, and we're continuing to celebrate Christmas. It's a message called Let's Take a Look.
The when of Christmas. Think about the fact that God, at a very specific time in his plan, engineered the coming of Jesus Christ. I know many people would say, if I could just see Jesus today, if I could just experience, if I just could walk where he walked or do what. Listen, God in his plan knew exactly the when of Christmas and when it should be, exactly to the detail. The Bible tells us, first of all, this is kind of fun, listen up, that Jesus Christ came when the Roman Empire was ruling the world. Now, we can go off in 1,000 directions on this one. I'll just give you two really fun things. Number one, the guy, he was just a guy, going from memory now, Octavian is his last name, Gaius Octavian. As soon as he became the emperor, do you know what his title was? Caesar Augustus. Hey, Octavius, take out the trash, will you? Then the next day, he's the emperor of the Roman Empire, and now he's God. Did you know the Roman Empire, the Romans believed that the emperor was God on earth? Did you know, listen, when Jesus Christ was born, that Caesar Augustus, that his citizens of the empire called him by this title, Caesar Augustus, the Savior of the world. Did you know that? The Savior of the world. That's what was going around the empire. And now you have a kid born, a baby. That there's a rumor that the angels announced that the one born in Bethlehem is the Savior of the world. We got a problem brewing, ladies and gentlemen. We've got two kingdoms with two kings. One has got the power to crush your face, and the other one's got the power to go to the cross and die in your place. One can flex his muscle and destroy worlds. The other one created worlds. One brought, quote, peace to the world by its iron fist. The other one brought peace into the world by riding on a donkey into Jerusalem. The when. At just the right time, God says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5, at just the right time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, which I find that hilarious. Born of a woman. Are we not all born of a woman? How many of you were born of a woman? Raise your hand. Some of you are not raising your hand. Okay. Of course we were all born of a woman. It's called mom. Here's the deal. When the Bible says that God sent forth his son born of a woman, that means that ain't going to happen again. That means it happened once. Born of a woman, born under the law. That means Jesus answered the demands of the law of God for you and I, because we couldn't. At just the right time. You and I today are celebrating Christmas because 21 centuries ago, God came into the world at just the right time. And he did that, born of a woman, born under the law, to deliver us, the Bible says, from the curse of the law. You say, well, how can the law be a curse? Because it's the law that points to you and I being sinners. Did you know that? That's why when you do something wrong and people ask you, how you doing? Why? What are you asking for? It's because you feel the law pointing. When you have guilt on your heart, you know where that comes from? God. He's pointing. Number four, the where. The where of Christmas is this. The Bible tells us that God establishing and creating the scene for which all of these prophetic things were to take place, God had a plan. In Isaiah chapter 46, verses 9 and 10, God says, I'm God, there is no other God. And this, then listen, he lays this down as a challenge. I am God, there is no other God. I'm God who tells you the future in advance. I write it down before it happens so that when it happens, you know that I'm God. Is that awesome? That's amazing. Well, I don't know if you can, I don't know if God's real or not. Well, you know, I love you, but just stop being so lazy. Get up and find out. Did God ever write anything down in advance and it came to pass exactly as he wrote? Oh, yes, thousands of times. You should know that. Our belief in Christ and his Bible is based upon fact. And one of the facts is this. In that census I was talking about a moment ago, or the rulership, I should say, of the emperor, the Bible tells us this in Luke chapter 2, verse 1, that at the time the Roman Empire, Caesar Augustus, decreed that a census should be taken throughout all the Roman Empire. You know what's fun about that? That says it in the Bible. It also says it in Roman history. Then verse 2 adds something it didn't need to add at all. Parentheses in your Bible. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was the governor of Syria. When we research back and find out, did Syria ever have a governor by the name of Quirinius? And was it during this time of the Emperor Augustus? The answer is yes. Wow. Faith founded on fact. What else happened? The Bible tells us this, that all returned to their ancestral towns to be registered for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem of Judea, David's ancient hometown. So Joseph and Mary are living in the north, up in the region just west of Galilee. And they've got to make a nearly 90-mile trek down while she's just about ready to give birth on a donkey or walking. I don't know how she made it, but she makes it to Bethlehem because Joseph was a descendant of David. God's got to get pregnant Mary to Bethlehem. You say, well, who cares? Why? Why Bethlehem? I knew you would ask. Listen carefully, skeptic in the house. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of villages of Judea, yet out of you will come forth to me, God is speaking, capital M in the Hebrew, me, God, the one who will be the ruler over Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, even eternally. The Bible says in Micah 5:2 that God said his son, the Messiah of the universe, would be born in Bethlehem. Not only Bethlehem, guess what? During the time of Christ, at his birth, there were two Bethlehems. Two villages went by the name of Bethlehem. One was in one county and one was in the other county. The Bible says Bethlehem Ephrathah. Jesus was born in that county. What do you think of that? Our faith is founded upon fact, ladies and gentlemen. And whoever's born in Bethlehem would have a shroud of mystery about him, that he would be a virgin, or that he would be born of a virgin, and that he would be born in Bethlehem. And when Herod wanted to find out where this king was going to be born, that's the verse the rabbis came to him and reported to Herod. They said, the prophet said it would be Bethlehem, and there must have been a cold chill that went up his back. Because he had a rival Does the coming of Christ rival you, or does it cause you to be delighted? Do you get excited about Christ, or does he threaten you? Which leads us to this closing and final thing. It's the why. The who, what, when, where, and the why of Christmas. The why is this. The why is Christ came to set us free. Jesus Christ, the baby born, was destined. It was not an accident. Destined for the cross. The why was the Christmas child going to the cross. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 picks it up. Now they were in the same country shepherds, living out in their fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel, one angel of the Lord stood before them. Watch what happens. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. This is awesome. The Bible tells us that shepherds were there and an angel appeared. And when the angel appeared, the word here in the Greek means the angels were completely enveloped in the light of the angel's presence. That had to be awesome. You look at angels in the Bible, it's amazing. They're not little naked cherub over your grandma's toilet bowl with the little bow and arrow and the little wings with the chubby buns, you know, looking at you with a smile. Angels are terrifying. Some angels have four faces on one head, the Bible says. Think of that for a minute. Think. Four faces on one head. And it's, by the way, the Bible says on one face, it's the face of a human. On the other side of the face is the face of an ox. On the other side is the face of a lion, and on the other side is the face of an eagle, and they have six wings. That should cause you to stay up with me all night long. Can you imagine? I want to see an angel. No, you don't, because the Bible shows you when people, Daniel saw an angel, and he was sick for days. He was physically sick. It freaked him out. Can you imagine? And this angel shows up and he's making an announcement and the shepherds are enveloped in the glory. And listen to what the angel says. Of course, the first words out of the mouth makes perfect sense to me. Don't be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Did you hear that? Christmas is to bring great joy to all people. That's the message. For there is born to you this day in the city of David, oh boy, here you go, here comes trouble, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. There goes the emperor. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And then verse 13 explodes. I wish Spielberg could capture this. Verse 13 says, and then suddenly there was with the angel, singular, a multitude of heavenly hosts. Heavenly host is a massive gathering of angels. And what did they do? They praised God, and this is what they said. Verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man. That was the message. Did you hear that? That was the message. The angels were announcing their orders from heaven. Hey, shepherds, awesome news. Merry Christmas. It's God's desire that there'll be peace on the earth. Isn't the earth messed up? The earth is so messed up. Why is it messed up, people? Don't blame God. Oh, I don't. I blame religion. That's people. God is not religion. Listen, if you haven't learned this yet, religion is a man-made invention. Religion is man's attempt to dethrone God. Nimrod started it at the Tower of Babel. He created a global religion to dethrone God. God doesn't want you involved in religion. He wants you to know him so that you might have goodwill, peace on earth. Among men of goodwill. What is men of goodwill? Men with hearts that are open to receive. Are you open to receive the Christmas message? That's the why. And so all of this is going on, all of this remarkable announcement. God wants you to have peace. Isn't it amazing? We're coming down to an epic moment prophetically in the world. Isn't it amazing? You know, today, all around America, the United States and Western Europe, did you know that we were under, not we personally, but collectively the Christian was told this week by ISIS, you go to church, you die. Did you know that they had produced or listed churches to distribute among their lone wolves to go attack churches in America today? Is that what the angel said? Instead of glory to God in the highest, it's gory. Gory to the earth. My message is to spread mayhem, violence, and death. Cheer up. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ wants you to have peace. The answer to the world is Jesus, not religion. You say, well, I just joined a church. A church can't do anything for you. Well, I just, listen, well, I just signed up. I just passed the test. I became a Christian. Well, you don't do it that way. Do you know what it's like to have a relationship with the living God? That's why he came. That's why there's Christmas. The why of Christmas is that he came to save us. Now, on a day like this, listen, we're all done. On a day like this, you're going to go home, especially the younger you are, the more prone you're to do this, and that's just to dive right under the tree. Do you remember when you were kids, you'd shake things? Were you like me? You'd shake the gift. As soon as my mom had it wrapped, as soon as she put it under the tree, I was terrible. I'd shaking it. Sounds plastic. It's kind of heavy. Did any of you do that? You're quiet there for a minute. I didn't know if you were. You know how you sometimes accidentally rip the paper? Mom, I don't know how that happened. I think the dog did that. Why? You're so excited. You want to find out what's in that thing. And if you're anything like my brother and I, we'd get up 4, 5 o'clock in the morning. And remember my parents, go back to bed. So excited. We wanted to unwrap that stuff, man. We wanted to get it going, whatever it was. We dove under that tree. 2,000 years ago, there was a tree, as it were, a wooden cross on Calvary, just north of the Temple Mount. Today, it's right at the top of an Arab bus stop. It's still there, Golgotha, the place of the skull. Calvary, which is what this church is named after, Calvary. Mount Calvary means skull, place of the skull, Skull Chapel. You're in Skull Chapel right now. The cross was there. Jesus died on that cross. And everybody who comes to the cross, you can come to the cross today. You come to the cross and you can unwrap the forgiveness you've never had. You can unwrap joy that you've never had. You can unwrap the acceptance that God has for you through Jesus Christ. You can unwrap that. You say, well, Pastor, how much money do I give? You keep your money to yourself. Well, what do I need to do? Do I need to do 5 steps to the right, 2 kneels, and a... None of that stuff. Well, give me some hoops. I'll jump through them. You can't do it. All you can do is come to him and say, Lord, I recognize this day that you died on the cross for my sins. And I come, Jesus, with nothing in my hands. I have nothing to give that can impress you, King. And I submit my soul to you, God, and I pray that you forgive me of my adultery or my bank robbery or my hatred or my pride or my evil thoughts or my thievery or my hate, anger, whatever it is with us. God, please forgive me. And you know what? He delights in forgiving. He loves it. And when you do that for realsies, he comes in and transforms your life. I love God big time because I know how much he has forgiven me of sins that I should be dead for. And I ain't going to tell you what they are. Before I accepted Christ, I should be dead. And Jesus saved my life. That's why I can't. People tell me to shut up. I can't shut up. If you don't shut up, we're gonna get you in trouble. I'm not going to shut up. You don't understand how much I've been forgiven. I have been forgiven so much. Okay. Do you know this? Do you know this? The why of Christmas? The who today could be you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God. Thank you so much for your kindness and your generosity and the fact that you're most often so quiet. And even on a day like this, the freeways are quiet. The town is quiet. It's so quiet. And then there's those times when somehow you shout without a voice in us. It's in our minds. It's in the middle of our gut. It's so bizarre to put our finger on, but we know that you're speaking and you're saying, this is truth. You're saying it to us and you're saying, this is right. And you're saying to us, do this. And so today, here's the challenge. And while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm just going to trust you to be honest. I'm going to ask you to stand And that's all I'll be asking you to do, but for this reason, I'm going to ask you to stand if this applies to you. Don't stand unless you are in agreement. But if you would say in your heart, in all honesty, yes, then you stand. Why? Because Jesus said, if you acknowledge me before people, I will acknowledge you before my Father, which is in heaven. And if you reject me, then I must reject you. So listen, I guess the old saying is, if the shoe fits, wear it, right? So number one, if today you're a Christian, and as you come to the end of this year on this Christmas day, nobody needs to know the reason why. Nobody needs to know anything. But today you're a Christian, you love Jesus, but you want to rededicate your life to Jesus Christ today. I'm going to ask you to very quietly stand. Let's all remain in an attitude of prayer. But if you're a rededicating Christian, your life to God today, I want to just have you stand wherever you're at. Number two, if today you're here and you think you're quite something, you're a very moral person, you've looked around already and of those seated around you and you've concluded you're better than all of them, and you don't really need God. Did you know that the Bible says that Jesus Christ only is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father but through him? Did you know your good works without Christ are a zero to God? If you want to have him wash away your pride and make you his own child, will you stand to your feet right now? Maybe thirdly today, you're a person that is saying, I'm a very spiritual person, Pastor. I am so spiritual. I have a Bible. I have a Ouija board. I have a Quran. I've got crystal balls. I've got pyramids. I've got it. I got all my bases covered. Yes, you're a pantheist. You have all these different idols and gods. Listen, Jesus is saying to you today, I'm the only one. If that's happening to you today, if he's changing your mind today and you want to accept him today, that is, you want to become not a Christian, but a follower of Christ, why don't you stand to your feet if that's you today? And then finally, maybe you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, I walked in this building today thinking I'm an atheist. These are some serious challenges, though, given in a quick period of time. I cannot refute these things, the who, what, when, where, and why. These are facts. I get that enough to know that I'm hearing truth. I know I'm hearing truth, and I need Jesus today. Will you now stand to your feet? Those of you who are standing, will you pray this out loud with me? Just say this out loud. Dear Lord, I'm asking you to take possession of my life. I've heard about you today, but I want to experience you. I'm inviting you to come into my life, into my world, and take over. I don't want religion. I don't want any hype. I want to know God. And he'll be the answer for you forever. Amen. God bless you. Merry Christmas to you.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio. Thanks for joining us. And all of us here at Real Radio wish you a very Merry Christmas. And our prayer is that you have the peace on earth that only comes from knowing Christ. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, the Bible is undeniably the single most reliable source for what the future holds, and it challenges us to know what's coming. The 11 message series, Awaken, will provide a wealth of information for the times in which we live. Let me give you the names of some knowledgeable speakers that'll discuss key topics about the impact of prophecy on our lives today. Jay Smith, Mark Hitchcock, Charlie Campbell, and Jack Hibbs. These are some men of God who really know their stuff when it comes to Bible prophecy. You'll get the MP3 audio files and the MP4 video files of the entire series of Jay Smith, Mark Hitchcock, Charlie Campbell, and Jack Hibbs. It is the Awaken USB. Ask for it when you get in touch with us. The Awaken series on USB for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.